I wonder how often you have put some money in your pocket, or you put some money in your purse, and perhaps, well, there's been a tickle in your nose, and you've put your hand quickly into your pocket to blow your nose when, and over goes those coins all over the floor. Or ladies, you've got that money in that purse, and suddenly it slips out of your hand and it flies open and the money goes all over the floor. What do we do? Well, we get down and we look very carefully and we pick up those coins. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells of a lady who did exactly that. She lost a coin. And she searched diligently for it until she found it. And when she found it, she rejoiced, calling her neighbours in to rejoice with her. And the Lord said that there is rejoicing in heaven over lost souls. When somebody who is lost is found, there is rejoicing in heaven. A farmer has 100 sheep. And he goes out into his field and he counts round. And he only gets far as 99. So he counts again. And again he only gets to 99. One must be missing. And he goes round the hedgerows and through the shrubbery until he finds the lost sheep. He has made an immediate search. He leaves the 99 and he goes in search of the one lost sheep. Jesus tells of a farmer who did just that, and he rejoiced over the finding of the lost sheep. Now, I could go on listing various examples throughout the Gospels of the very simple things, simple everyday things that the Lord Jesus Christ used to illustrate his teaching to the disciples and to the people. He used parables. He spoke about sheep. He spoke about vines. He spoke about coins. He spoke about weeds. He spoke about seeds. And so I could go on. But you know, the Apostle Paul also drew upon the simple illustrations of things that happen in people's lives. He speaks sometimes about soldiers. He speaks sometimes about armour that soldiers put on. He speaks at other times about the body or about athletes. And so I could go on listing the various examples out of everyday life that the Apostle Paul uses when he is teaching men and women through his letters and through his preaching. In Romans chapter 13, he uses an illustration, an everyday illustration, something that happens to you and I every day, waking up and getting up and dressing. Let's turn to Romans and to chapter 13 in our Bibles. You'll find it on page 801. Romans chapter 13, and I just want to read a few verses to you at the end of that chapter. So Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, page 801 in the Church Bible. The Apostle Paul says to his people, and do this, understanding the present time, The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, or in dissensions and jealousies. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Just look at the various illustrations there in those few verses that the Apostle Paul uses. I just want us tonight, just for a short while, to concentrate on that last verse, where the Apostle Paul speaks about clothing ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Clothe yourselves, he says. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Or as it's in the ESV, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He uses the daily occurrence of awaking and dressing for the day. I want us to look at this verse tonight and see what we can learn from it, that you and I might draw each day nearer to our God. You know, firstly, we need to realize, as we awake, who we are. Who we are. A Christian must realize who he or she is. Why do you call yourself a Christian? Is it because you come along to a building on a Sunday and you join together with other people and go through an act of worship? Perhaps you enjoy the fellowship with them. So you come because you enjoy Christian friends. They're nice people. They're good people. And you come Sunday by Sunday just to enjoy the fellowship with them. Perhaps you come because you're attracted to the Christian way of life. You're not an atheist. You believe in God. You believe that somewhere out there there's a God, and well, yes, there's probably something in what the Bible says about Jesus being the Son of God. You're not a Muslim. You're not a Sikh. You come along and you gather with Christian people. You call yourself a Christian. If I can cast my mind all the way back to 1950... And that's rather a long time ago now. But I remember when I went into the army on October the 19th, 1950. I can remember it. It's one of those dates that sort of etches itself on your mind. And you know, when you went in, you were issued with what the army call a paybook. And you had to keep that paybook with you wherever you went. It went in your breast pocket. And in there it had your details. Your army number, which was very important. And your name. And other details. But one of those other details was your religion. And you used to line up when we first got there, when we were going through what we used to call the pipeline. You went in as a civilian at the beginning, and you came out as a soldier at the other end. Somewhere along the line, you were queuing up and they were filling in your religion. And you used to hear what the other fellows just in front of you would say. Oh, I don't know. Are you Jewish? No, 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 I'm not Jewish. Are you this? Are you that? So usually it ended up, oh, a Christian.
Church of England.
And that went with you. If a person didn't know who they were, what religion they had, they were so often put down and called a Christian because we were in a so-called Christian land. Are you a Christian? Because you're in a so-called Christian land? Because probably the majority of people, even though they are not, call themselves Christian. I trust it's not for any of those reasons. I trust it is because you have repented of your sin and you've placed your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That you want to be identified with him. That you want to be known as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple of his. You want to be saved from your sins. And you've turned to him for salvation. But you know more than that. Are you a Christian because you want to be like your Saviour? Do you want to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Those of you who come regularly on a Thursday night to our prayer meetings or to our house groups, you'll notice that Spencer always puts in the notes for that evening the fact that we should pray that each one of us should be Christ-like. That each one of us should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. The one whom we are following. The one whom we put our trust in. The one who saved us from our sins. If you say you're a Christian and you're not endeavouring to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, surely you're living a life which is a falsehood. You're saying you're something when you're not. And here in this passage, the Apostle Paul says to us that a practical meaning of becoming a Christian can be understood through the very simple imagery of putting on clothing. Sanctification, which follows justification, is to be clothed with Jesus. Before we were Christians, before we came to know him as Saviour and Lord, we were living in the night, performing the deeds of darkness. Paul says, there in verse 12, let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Turn, if you will, to Ephesians, just a few pages on in your Bibles, page 827, to Ephesians and to the fourth chapter and to the 17th verse. See here what the Apostle Paul has to say to the Ephesian church. He says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, that they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood. and speak truthfully to his neighbour, for we are all members of one body. When we become a Christian, we are clothed with Christ, so that we can say that when we are justified, we put on Jesus. But that putting on, that clothing, has to be renewed each day. For Paul says to the Colossian church that we read earlier on, that Reuben read to us, there in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 9 and 10, page 833 in your Bibles if you want to turn to it. Paul says, do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Take off the old self. Put on the new. You are a Christian, born again in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a Christian, we are told to put off the old self and to put on the new, which is our clothing ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says we've got to wake up to this fact. Wake up to this fact. What do we do each day before we can do anything else? Why, we wake up, don't we? This is exactly what Paul says to the church there in Rome, does he not, in the passage that we read together. Wake up, he says. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Do we wake up in the Christian life? Or are we still living a life of slumbering, of doing very little, of not growing in the Christian life? Going back to my first days in the army, I can always remember that first morning in the barrack room. Well, we'd been pretty worn out the day before. From the moment I got off of the train in the Devizes station, which is no longer there, and we were bundled into the back of an army truck and taken up to the barracks, which were in Devizes. And from that moment until we dropped into bed somewhere around about 11 o'clock, our feet never touched the ground. And we were soon asleep. And it just seemed as soon as we dropped off to sleep, then over the loudspeaker, which was stuck up there in the barrack room, came the reveille call. And with the reveille call, the barrack room door was flung open, and there was the corporal, standing with his hands on his hips, saying, "Wake up!" And he walked round each bed and he kicked it. And boy, you soon got out of bed. You soon got out of bed. And oh, did you dislike that man? I got my own back when I became an NCO and was able to do it to others. But we'll skip that bit. But we were woken up. And as a Christian, we need to wake up. Paul says the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Then Paul adds just a little reminder there, which I like. He says, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now I know for your young folk, well, coming into full salvation, if the Lord wills, seems a long way off. But you know, when you get to my age, it's something that can be just round the corner for me. My salvation is much, much nearer than when I first believed. So as Christians, we must ask ourselves this question: how do I begin the day? As a born-again believer, how do I start the day? Lying abed or rising to live a life, as Paul calls it in Ephesians chapter 4, a life worthy of the calling you have received. The hour has come, says Paul, for you to wake up from your slumber. How do you usually wake of a morning? Is it the alarm clock going off? Is it your mobile phone ringing by your pillow? Is it the radio coming on? Is it a nudge in your ribs from your spouse, meaning that you're the first one to get up? We're to wake up. We're to open our eyes. Wake up, says Paul. The night is over. The day is here. Can you feel the urgency there in Paul's command? The time's limited, he says. The opportunity is brief. The time is to heed and to obey and to serve is now. There's no time for apathy. No time for complacency. No time for indifference. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. It's a hymn we don't often sing these days. But many years ago, as a younger man and as a boy, it was a hymn we often sung. There's a work for Jesus ready at your hand. Are we ready to serve? Are we ready to wake up? Yes, says Paul. You are to wake up. What do we do when we wake up? Well, he says, we throw off something. He says, so let us put aside the deeds of darkness. The imagery here is a picture of a soldier awakening to a new day. He's to throw off his night attire and put on his battle gear. It's time for you and I as Christians to wake up and to throw off our night attire. To be ready for the Lord's service. To come out from under the blankets, come out from under the duvet. Throw them off and put on our dress for the day. The deeds of darkness must be left behind. We are now a soldier in the army of Christ. There's a job to do, there's a battle to be won. There's work to serve. We must have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. We are children of the light. But there are powers of darkness all round us. Powers of darkness all round us. We must be ready, awake, and prepared to deal with the powers of darkness. So we must put on, says Paul, there in verse 12. We must put on the armour of light. And on then into verse 14. Clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the full armour, he says there in Ephesians chapter 6. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ represents the continual growth of those who have become children of God through faith. We grow in the Christian life as we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We call it sanctification. Yes, we've justified. Yes, we've come to salvation. We've been born again. We've been justified through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we grow in the Christian life. We are sanctified. That is an ongoing process. and won't be completed till the day we meet our Lord in glory. So as Paul says to the Colossians in the passage that we read earlier, so then just as you've received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught. As we grow in Christ, the old clothing of sinful thoughts and actions and habits are continually being cast off, and we are clothed in the divine righteousness, the truth and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We put on the love of Christ. As the work of sanctification progresses in our life through the work of the Holy Spirit takes up his home in our hearts. And as the Holy Spirit works in our hearts and in our lives, so we are clothed in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's character becomes our character. We pray, as we said, Thursday by Thursday, in our notes that is put there to remind us. We are to pray that each one should be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you praying that? Are you praying that in your own private prayers for yourself and for your brothers and sisters in the Lord? We must continually pray that we are putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, that his character is shining through our lives, that when men and women see us, they see the character of the Lord Jesus. Is there something different about your life? Or is it the same old life? The life that you were living before you were born again? There's no difference. Or have you grown up and put on the Lord and there's that difference, there's that character in your life? Paul tells the Philippian church in chapter 3 of his letter, one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. Are you putting your old life behind you? And are you straining on for what is ahead? Pressing on to win that goal? To obtain that crown? The Lord Jesus Christ has called you to serve him. Yes, he saved you from your sins. He chose you before the foundation of the world. And he came and he died upon the cross, paying the price for your sin. And he rose again from the dead. And he's now seated at the right hand of his Father in the glory. There he's interceding for you. There he's obtained for you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And he's saying, I want you to be like me. I want you to grow. I don't want you to be a Christian who's asleep, who's just slumbering and getting nowhere. I want you to be alive. I want you to be active. I want you to be serving me. I want you to grow more and more like me. Are you growing? Are you praying daily that you might grow? Are you awake? Or are you a Christian who is asleep?